Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
We're going to begin this morning by reading from the book of Zechariah. Now, that is not our scripture that you'll find printed on your bulletin. So as I'm reading it, if you're frantically searching for it, it's because you won't find it in your bulletin. We'll come back to Mark here in a little bit. But I want to start with this passage from the book of Zechariah because it gives us a context for what we are going to see Jesus do and what we're going to read about when we in fact get to Mark. So this is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a donkey." Zechariah writes these words 500 years before the birth of Jesus. And at this time, Israel has just gone into exile in Babylon. The Babylonians have sacked Jerusalem and have led the people away from their homeland to a nation that is foreign to them, that is hostile to them, and they will be there until they are given the opportunity to return, which is some many years later. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple itself has been destroyed. And in the midst of all of this chaos, Zechariah's voice can be heard crying aloud. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Rejoice! Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. He is triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah's words are bursting with hope. Zechariah is excited. A king is coming. God's chosen one, a descendant of David, triumphant and victorious is he. This king is going to lead the people out of their exile. And so I try to imagine the anxious and excited anticipation the people have for this king. These Babylonian exiles who are expecting a savior to come to them and release them from their captivity. Zechariah says, "Lo, your king comes to you." I remember when a king came to my hometown. Well, he wasn't a king technically, but he was about the closest to royalty that I had ever seen. And so when my friends heard that he was coming to speak at a local private high school, and that after his presentation, myself and my friends were invited to a special gathering at another individual's house to meet this individual, we were absolutely beside ourselves. We couldn't believe our good luck and our fortune at the opportunity to meet this American hero. And he was. We had seen him on television. He had won one of the most difficult cycling championships 7 times in a row, the Tour de France, the greatest cyclist in world history, Lance Armstrong. My friends and I were going to have the opportunity to meet Lance, and we began asking ourselves, what are you going to ask him? What are you going to say? Are you going to ask for his autograph? If you do, what's he going to sign? Your bike? I have no idea. We were just so overwhelmingly excited. And so you can imagine my anticipation when I finally had the opportunity to meet him. And I reached out my hand, and my wrist was covered in yellow Live Strong bracelets, if you remember those. And I grabbed Lance Armstrong's hand and I shook it. I said, "Mr. Armstrong, it's wonderful to meet you." I was over the moon. But you can also imagine my disappointment when I learned a couple years later that he was wrapped up in a scandal for doping, and that he was stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. See, I had prepared to meet this king. I had prepared to meet this individual who was a hero of mine. I hadn't prepared for the disappointment that he might in fact be a cheater. That was really hard for me and my friends. Lo, your king comes to you. Zechariah's words must have excited those who heard him. They must have looked on with bated breath, anxiously awaiting the arrival of this king, the king of Jerusalem, the one who would lead them out of exile and back into independence, into nationhood, into power, and into glory. But you see, the funny thing is that if you wait long enough, if you wait in excitement and anticipation for the arrival of someone like a king for long enough, that excitement begins to fade. It loses its luster. And you see, the Israelites have been waiting for 500 years. The Babylonians, they come and they go, and the Greeks take their place, and then the Greeks, they come and they go, and now it's the Romans. And despite every new conqueror, every new oppression, every new heartache, Zechariah's words continue to ring in the ears of the people. Lo, your king comes to you. 500 years after Zechariah's prophecy, 500 years later, and we find Jerusalem and Jesus making his way to that sacred city. I invite you to open up your scripture. If you're watching from home or if you're here in the sanctuary, we'll be reading from the bulletin. This is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent 2 of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord's need it and will return it soon. The 2 disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, Hosanna! Praise God! Blessing on the one who come in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heaven! So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. I want to begin this morning by asking you a very simple question. Are you prepared for the coming King? Today is Palm Sunday, and today marks the beginning of Holy Week. We find ourselves towards the end of the season of Lent, a season of preparation itself, in which we are preparing ourselves to encounter this Lord, to encounter this Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but my preparation for Holy Week looks all kinds of ways. I prepare because I have to prepare the services in conjunction with Pastor Steve. We work on the Good Friday service and we work on the Easter service. I have to prepare because I have to think about all of the normal activities that I would do in Holy Week as it pertains to my work here at the church. But then I have to prepare with all the other different tasks and activities I have in my life. I have to prepare by making sure that Epperly gets to her daycare on time. I have to prepare that I make sure I do the dishes after Charlie is done cooking our dinner. There are all sorts of things that I prepare during Holy Week, but rarely do I think carefully about what it means to prepare for the coming King. What do I have to prepare for? Well, I have all of these other things, but am I really preparing for this Savior, Jesus Christ? Lo, your King is coming to you. And I don't know about you, but this year is especially difficult to prepare for because I feel like this year will never end. And when I say this year, I think of before COVID and after COVID. And we're not after COVID yet. We're still in the middle of it. COVID feels like taxiing on at an airport. I don't know about you, but I've had the experience where I'm going to fly to the East Coast or from the East Coast back to the West. I know I have a 5 or 6 hour flight in front of me. And what happens? We get on the tarmac and the captain comes on. And he says, folks, this is your captain speaking here. I don't want to alarm you or worry you, but we're going to have to spend some time because there's some ice on the wing, or we're dealing with a technical difficulty. It's all sorts of reasons, and we sit there for an hour and a half. And that's not time spent, right? You feel like, I've just sat on the at the airport for an hour and a half. They should take that off of the amount of flight time I have before me. That's not how it works, right? You now have still 6 hours of flight, and that's what COVID has felt like. It's hard for me to try to imagine what it means to prepare for a coming King when so much of my attention is wrapped up in all these other areas of my life that are vying and tugging for my attention. So if we are really going to prepare for the coming King, maybe we need to change our mindset. Maybe we need to stop thinking in terms of what am I preparing for as something I'm preparing for, but maybe we need to think of preparing for someone. Maybe we need to be asking the question, are you prepared for the coming King? Not his celebration, not his worship even necessarily. Maybe we need to ask, are you prepared for the man himself, this Jesus of Nazareth, and what he does for you on the cross? That's a difficult question to answer, because before we can answer it, before we can answer, are you preparing for the coming King, we need to know what preparation is. We can prepare in all sorts of ways, but sometimes it's not good preparation. When I was an athlete, I would prepare for a game on Friday night or on Saturday morning, but if I wasn't working out, if I was just sitting at home eating donuts, which is oftentimes what I did, that's not good preparation. And so we need to know what preparation, good preparation for the coming King is. And frankly, friends, we don't have the time. And what I mean by that is the Israelites were preparing for over 500 years, and still they weren't preparing for the right thing. We see this in our passage this morning. In verses 8 through 10, we read, many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, Hosanna! Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heaven! This crowd that has been following Jesus, they go ahead of Jesus and they begin laying down their garments and begin laying down the palm leaves in front of Jesus. Because here comes this king. Here comes this king on a colt, just like Zechariah says. And they say, "Hosanna, save us." But save us from what? For the people gathered, they think Jesus is going to save them from Rome. They think Jesus is going to be a king who is going to overthrow the oppressors and bring them back to the glory they once experienced as a nation. They are preparing for a king who will liberate them from all sources of distress, from their pain, from their sickness, from financial instability, from the uncertainty of the future. Israel wants to be saved from all those outside forces that get in the way of them living the lives they think they deserve, the life we think we've earned. And so the people lining the streets shouting Hosanna are preparing for a king that's not the one who's going to hang on a cross. It's a very different king. And in this way, I believe they are preparing for disappointment. Because Jesus will hang from a cross. And it's a Roman cross. And that Roman cross is the sign of Rome's victory over an oppressed people. It's how you execute criminals and individuals that you say aren't worth living. Individuals who you believe have no status in society. That's how they treat Jesus. All the things the Israelites expect of the coming king, Jesus is not. He's not a great general. He's not a rebel king. He cannot remove the burden of Roman taxes. He cannot erase every source of pain and uncertainty in the lives of the Israelites. And friends, if you are preparing for that kind of king this Holy Week, then you too are preparing for disappointment. You see, like the Israelites, we also want to be saved. We want to be healed. We want to escape the never-ending cycle of terrible news that we see on the television at night. We want COVID to be over. We want all kinds of things. But friends, Jesus may not be the king we want him to be. He may not be the king we expect him to be. He may not be the king we think we need him to be. We may, in fact, be preparing for disappointment. So I'm going to ask you again this morning. Are you prepared for the coming king? Jesus, he goes about preparing his disciples. In our passage, Jesus seeks to prepare his disciples for the coming king. In verses 1 through 3, we read, Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead. He says, go ahead. Go into that village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Go ahead, Jesus says. You see, when we prepare for disappointment, what we usually do is we look inside ourselves and we ask the question, what do I need? What are my hopes for the future? What are the things that I can do in order to remove the uncertainty, to remove the fear from my life? And we begin to propose a king that will fix all of those problems. We begin to create an idol for ourselves that we call God, which is the king that we think we deserve. But that's not what we get in Jesus Christ. He says, don't prepare in that way. If you want to prepare for the coming king, do as I did with my disciples. Jesus sends us somewhere. And he sends us to serve. Jesus sends us because he wants us to understand that what he is doing isn't simply for our own gratification. It's not to create the God that we want him to be. It's because he has a mission to love the world. He has a mission of grace and of mercy. He has a mission to stand in our place on the cross and reconcile us to the Father. In preparing the disciples for the coming king, Jesus sends them to serve. He sends them to a place. He sends them with the task of doing the work that God has sent us to do. God has sent us to witness to that Jesus Christ who stands, who is hung on a cross and then is raised from the dead for the sake of the world. That's why he came. And he calls each of us to live in that mission and to point others to that. And you see, when we ask the question, Lord, where are you sending me? How do you want me to serve? When we prepare for the coming king in that way, a couple of things happen. The first is that we lose sight of ourselves. And that's actually a good thing. Because we are often really focused only on who we are and what our needs are and what we want. We lose sight of our pride. We lose sight of our selfishness. We lose sight of the ways in which we determine for ourselves what is good and what is evil. We need to lose sight of those individuals, because looking for those people, for focusing on those people that we are inside, we lose sight of what God is doing and what God has called us to be. And so when we lose sight of ourselves, something else happens. When we lose sight of ourselves, then we can truly see who God has created us to be. We are his children of grace. We are the ones that Jesus Christ sends out into the world to witness to his love. We are the ones that Jesus comes to this earth to shower us with the forgiveness of sins. When we lose sight of ourselves, we can focus on who we've truly been called to be in Jesus. Lo, your King comes to you. Are you prepared for the coming of this King? If you are uncertain, if you have to ask that question, and I know I do, then I want to encourage you, go ahead. Go ahead and be sent where God is calling you to serve, to point to others to Easter Sunday, to Good Friday, to the crucifixion of the God of the world, so that we can be saved from our sins. That is who God is calling us to be. And what will you find there? You will find the way of the King, the way of service, the way of grace, the way of the forgiveness of sins, the way of the self-giving God who loves unconditionally, the way of the one who through death conquers death, the way of the King riding humbly on a colt. It is the way of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, go ahead and prepare yourselves for this coming King. Let us pray. God of grace, God of mercy, Lord, we are preparing ourselves. We are preparing for the coming King that we will celebrate during this Holy Week. But Lord, there are ways that we can prepare that will be a distraction. There were ways that we will prepare that will leave us disappointed. Our prayer this morning, God, is that we will prepare as you have prepared your disciples, that you will send us, that we will go ahead, and that we will serve. Serve in your name and point others to your love and your grace in the world, that we might truly know this King, and that we might truly be transformed by his love. We pray these things in Christ's name.